Does it feel like every time you correct your kids, it turns into a long-winded lecture? How do you correct a child when it seems they're too young to understand heart-probing questions and instructions? Is your toddler even more angry and defiant following discipline, and you're not sure what you can do about that? If you're wondering how to navigate any of these issues, then we're so glad you're joining us for today's episode of Ask Ginger. I'm your host, Katie Morgan, and welcome to Parenting with Ginger Hubbard. Ginger is the best-selling author of Don't Make Me Count to Three, Wise Words for Moms, and I Can't Believe You Just Said That. She speaks at women's events, parenting conferences, and homeschool conventions across the country. You can check out her parenting resources and find out when she's speaking in or near your area at gingerhubbard.com. If you enjoy this podcast and want to help support our ministry, one great way you can do that is by purchasing Ginger's resources directly from her website instead of other online retailers. And stay tuned until the end of this episode to receive a discount code on your purchase at gingerhubbard.com. Another great way to support our ministry is by helping us get the word out to other parents by subscribing to our podcast and leaving a rating or a review wherever you listen. Thank you so much for your support, listeners. This enables us to further our mission to help parents reach the hearts of their children for the glory of God. Do your kids just love getting mail? Do you go to the mailbox with them and sift through the mountain of paper, like coupon for mold removal? Yeah, don't need that. Hopefully. Electric bill. Ouch. Bathing suit magazine you didn't request. No thank you. But what if your kids went to the mailbox with you to find an engaging current events magazine just for them, presented from a biblical worldview? God's World News is just that, and so much more. They offer bi-monthly print magazines and corresponding online content that will walk your kids through current events in age-appropriate ways, from toddlers all the way to teens. Subscribe at gwnews.com/ginger. Again, that's gwnews.com/ginger. We are so grateful to all of our listeners. And so we just want to share a couple of reviews we've recently received. Meg says, "This podcast has breathed new life into weary bones. I'm so grateful for the biblical perspective and godly advice and wisdom that Ginger and her team have to share. I now recommend this podcast to all of my friends with children." And our listener Chloe says, "Becoming a mom of three boys in less than 3 years..."
Wow.
Mm-hmm. "Made me turn to God's word more than I ever had before.
I bet.
And thankfully, a sister in Christ recommended this podcast to me. I would be lost without God's wisdom, and Ginger speaks nothing but his truth in her teachings. So thankful for this resource that points me in the right direction every time." We also want to thank Alicia Lehman from Missouri and Hannah O'Connor from New York for their generous donations and continued support of the podcast. Well, hey there, Ginger. I'm excited for another episode of Ask Ginger. These are some of my favorites because I really feel like we're able to reach the people. You know, it's not just hearing ourselves talk, which sometimes it can feel that way, but we are engaging with our listeners, and that's such a privilege to be able to do that. So let's get right to our first question. Carrie in Alabama says, "I can't say it."
It's impossible for you to say it without
it like that. Carrie in Alabama says this: "I have a bad habit of turning every moment of correction with my 7 and 9-year-old into a long-winded lecture. The poor dears probably only listen to a quarter of what I say because they are tired of my long lectures. I know this is not pleasing to the Lord, but I don't know what to replace it with. Will you please help me see in Scripture what to put off and what to put on for my own life?"
I just love this question, Carrie. I love your humility and willingness to honor the Lord by checking your own heart and your own need for change. That's truly the mark of a great mom. And you're so right in that overcorrecting and instructing can be exasperating for children. And we know from Scripture that excessive talking in general is not pleasing to the Lord. The Bible is clear that talking too much leads to no good, no matter who we're talking to. A few scriptures that come to mind are Proverbs 15:28, which says, "The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil." Weighing our answers requires
thinking before we speak. It involves taking time to measure our words and consider if what we're about to say is necessary and beneficial or not. Another verse along these same lines is Proverbs 10:19, which says, "When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise." As moms, the more we talk, I think the more likely it is that we will sin against God and sin against our children. So rather than long-winded lectures using our own words and counsel, it's better to cut to the chase using truths from God's word. Hebrews 4:12 explains that it's not our words, but God's word that will penetrate the heart. And if we're being honest, the more we talk, the more our focus tends to shift to ourselves and how we feel about their behavior. This is why it's important for us to have self-control with our words. In Titus 2:12, we're told to live self-controlled lives, and that includes having self-control when it comes to correcting and instructing our children. Ecclesiastes 3:7 tells us that there is a time to speak and a time to remain silent. The best way to find that balance is to adhere to God's commands and ask Jesus to help and guide us. There are two primary goals for rebuking, correcting, and training our children in the way they should go, neither of which are accomplished through excessive talking, but through prayer and the life-giving truths of God's word. The first goal is to help our children recognize and take ownership for the sin in their hearts. And the second goal is to point them to Jesus for salvation and transformation. We achieve these goals by following the example of Christ as we seek to be more like Him in the way we parent our children. When Jesus caught people in sin, He didn't launch into long-winded lectures. Instead, He often asked questions. Proverbs 20, verse 5 says, "The purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out." We can't draw out the sins of the heart without asking questions. Our kids can't evaluate their own hearts if their brains are too preoccupied with listening to a rant, or more likely, tuning out a rant. Mm-hmm. Our goal in communicating is not just to help our children understand why an outward behavior is wrong and what they ought to do about it. Now, there is a place for that, but as Jesus did, we start with a heart in order for our children to recognize the sin that's driving their outward behavior.
Ginger, what's interesting is that I know Carrie's kids are quite young, but I have learned that this doesn't really change even as they grow and mature. Our conversations can absolutely be deeper with our kids, but I have found, especially in moments of discipline, that's not often when those deep conversations happen.
Right.
We need to ensure that, you know, we keep things short to the point. And if we have deeper things to discuss, maybe not in those moments where emotions are high, or, you know, they've just been found out and their heart is all exposed. We need to give them time to really do that heart probing work, or allow the Holy Spirit to do that heart probing work. And save those deeper conversations, those longer conversations, for moments of non-conflict. I don't think that changes even once they have a longer attention span.
Right. Yep. So, Carrie, I encourage you to have a plan that will help you minimize your words and only say what is necessary and beneficial. Start with a heart by asking one or two, no more than three, heart-probing questions to help get to the root sin. It's best for children to ponder those questions and answer them themselves, but sometimes that doesn't happen. So if you have to help them with the answers, that's okay too. Then simply show them a verse or two about putting off that particular sin and what God's word says it can lead to if they don't put it off, followed by a verse or two that explains what they are to put on instead. That's three very simple steps that really shouldn't take more than a minute or two.
And Ginger, especially if people have your Wise Words for Moms chart handy, that's one of the biggest benefits of it, is that it enables you to quickly find the behavior because they're all listed in alphabetical order. You don't have to rack your brain trying to think up questions, because Ginger suggests two or three good ones you can ask. And another benefit of the chart is that, you know, Ginger, you've already done the research and listed specific verses for what to put off and what to put on for each sin issue. I know from personal experience that if you stick with the information on the chart, as Ginger mentioned, it should not take more than a couple of minutes to thoroughly address the problem from a heart-oriented biblical perspective. So the simple plan laid out in the chart keeps us from over-communicating to the point that our kids' eyes glaze over and they tune us out. And oftentimes I've noticed it prompts conversation from them and they may want to talk more, but we have a way to keep it short and sweet if needed. So no more long-winded lectures, to the point, correction and instruction is what we're going for.
Yeah, the chart really is as much for us as it is for our children. Mm-hmm. It's a tool to help us put off excessive talking and long-winded lectures that can lead to sin and exasperate our children, and put on self-control to say all that needs to be said without saying too much, which is going to be so much better for us and so much better for our children.
Now, I'm just going to note, ironically, that your answer to our listener's question has taken about 8 minutes or so, but that's okay. I'm just teasing. We all needed to hear that. Listeners, Mother's Day is just around the corner, so we are offering a buy three, get the fourth chart free. If you would like to bless and encourage your mom friends with a gift to help them reach the hearts of their children, or if you're like me and you want a chart in every corner of the house, every room of the house, either way, stay tuned until the end of the show, and we will tell you how you can get an additional discount on the Wise Words for Moms bundle deal. Okay, our next question comes from Brooke in Georgia, and she says, "Hi, Ginger. I love your podcast, books, and pretty much anything you say about parenting. When I understood that the sin issue in our kids and our own hearts directs the outward behavior, it felt like a eureka moment in parenting. But my question is this. How do you correct a child when they are too young to understand heart-probing questions? My three-year-old will do something like hit her brother or take a toy, and I will ask a heart-probing question like, how can you show love for your brother? Or does taking that toy show love and selflessness or selfishness? She looks at me with a blank stare. I answer for her, but she doesn't even get what I'm saying. How can I disciple her in the wisdom of the Lord and not just behavior modification before she is able to comprehend abstract concepts?"
Excellent question, Brooke. When they're that little with such limited communication skills, really everything should come down to just teaching them to obey. So no matter what the issue is, make it a simple matter of obedience. Try to keep your wording the same as much as possible so that your daughter learns the meaning of the word obey in the context of the moment. So whether she's, as you said, hitting her brother or trying to take a toy away, or no matter what she's doing, just focus on the heart issue of obedience when they're that little. So you might restrain her hands, because both of those offenses that you mentioned involve a lack of self-control with her hands. So maybe restrain her hands by firmly holding them together in yours and simply saying, "No, you may not hit your brother. You need to obey." Or, "No, you may not take that toy away. You need to obey." Keep the instructions short and clear. And for every instance, I encourage you to always use the simple phrase, "You need to obey," so that she's constantly hearing it in the context of the moment. If she doesn't comply, she's disobeying, and there should be a consequence for direct disobedience. That helps her learn that she reaps what she sows, which encourages wise choices. So for now, just keep your primary focus on teaching her what it means to obey and that there are consequences when she doesn't. Then, as her levels of understanding and communication mature, then you can start asking her heart-probing questions and correcting her for other more specific sin-related issues of the heart.
Yeah. And Ginger, I think it's helpful to view discipline in the same way we think about teaching our children to walk. We wouldn't ever imagine that our children could run before they first learn to sit up, to crawl, then to walk. So we really shouldn't expect something that's developmentally premature from our kids when it comes to their hearts either. I think much of a parent's frustration in the process of discipline can come because they're expecting too much too soon. And I have often felt this way more with my older child than with subsequent kids, because it's like I felt he should have been more advanced than he was. And a lot of that was just lack of education on my part in knowing what was and what was not developmentally appropriate. Ever wondered why traditional math curricula seem like a one-size-fits-all deal? Well, let's shake things up a bit and talk about CTC Math, a program that truly understands your child's unique learning needs. Imagine a math curriculum that adapts to their pace, making learning not just effective, but also enjoyable. No more tears. The interactive questions change in difficulty based on how your child is progressing, ensuring they're challenged just enough, not too hard, not too easy. It's like having a math tutor who knows exactly what they need when they need it. And as a parent, you'll love the detailed reports. You get to see their progress in real time so you can celebrate their victories and understand their challenges. It's really empowering. So if you're ready to give your child's math education a major boost, just visit ctcmath.com and sign up for a free trial. That's ctcmath.com. All right, I think we have time for one more question from Samira or Samira. I'm not sure how to say it, in California. And she says this: your show has been so helpful to me with training my children. I can't thank you enough. I have four children. My four-year-old son is extremely strong-willed. I have been as consistent and fair with him as I possibly can his whole life. My biggest struggle with him is after any kind of discipline, physical discipline or timeout, he is always angry and defiant towards me. After I try to have the reconciliation conversation, he angrily storms off, stomping his feet and often screaming in defiance. I feel conflicted about more physical discipline because he seems to have such a high tolerance, and I am worried about hurting him, but I don't know how to stop this defiant post-discipline behavior. Everything I've read and my experience with my other children is that after discipline, there should be a shift in behavior. This just doesn't happen with him. We are very loving, warm parents, always pointing out the good we see. We are trying so hard and feel lost and worried for his future. Please help. Mm-hmm.
Well, we have to keep in mind that discipline itself cannot change the heart of a child. Only God can do that, which is why bathing all of our efforts in prayer for God to do a work in their lives is so important. So Samira, I'm going to say Samira because my aunt's name is Myra. So I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Samira, I can't say for certain, but the fact that there was a shift in behavior after discipline and instruction with your other children tells me that it's probably not anything you're doing that's provoking your son to anger. Some kids just struggle with submission and anger more than others. I agree with you that continuing to administer discipline for his angry response to it is not wise. It can lead to a power struggle. From what you've said, it sounds like you're consistently disciplining with love and gentleness and self-control. And I assume you're pointing your son to his need for Jesus and encouraging him with truths from God's word. If that's the case, all you can do is all you can do. I don't know what's at the heart of your son's anger, but God does. So I encourage you to pray and ask Jesus to bring it to light. And in the meantime, you might want to give your son some more time to cool off after discipline before you try to talk with him. I had one child who immediately wanted to hug and reconcile after discipline, and another child who needed some time to cool off first. So my encouragement is to have him stay in his room until he has enough self-control to see past his anger and be able to listen to what you're saying. And that may take longer than you like for him to cool off, but at some point, he'll eventually calm down. And then once he has, then you can talk about the anger and defiance in his heart. A couple of verses that come to mind are Proverbs 1:7, which says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And Proverbs 19:20, which says, "Listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end, you will be wise." Keep in mind that overcorrecting, as we talked about earlier, can exasperate a four-year-old and even provoke them to anger. So don't overdo it. You might read and take no more than a minute or two to talk about those verses in Proverbs and probe his heart by saying something along the lines of, "Sweetheart, God's word says it's wise for you to listen to my instructions, but foolish for you to despise them. Is it foolish or wise for you to scream and stomp away in anger when I'm instructing you?" And if he doesn't answer, which, you know, they don't always answer, again, just go ahead and answer for him. "Honey, it's foolish for you to do that. And I love you too much to allow you to live foolishly. And keep in mind, too, that even when our kids don't answer, they're still pondering those questions in their heart. Also, since anger is such a struggle for him, take other opportunities in times of non-conflict to talk and pray about the anger in his heart. Maybe in the morning before breakfast or as you're tucking him in at night. Keep it simple by saying something like, "Honey, I know you've been struggling with anger when I have to discipline and instruct you, but God calls his children to put off sinful anger that displeases him and put on self-control." And parents, I don't mean to be presumptuous, but I dare say that most of us struggle with anger at times in one way or another. Being transparent shows compassion and understanding, even when our kids are young. So you might even say, "Sweetie, I understand and I know how hard it is because I struggle with anger sometimes too. But let's pray and ask Jesus to help us to have self-control and a desire to listen and obey his commands."
Now is the part of our show where we share a funny kid quip from one of our listeners. Today's kid quip is courtesy of Stephanie in New York, and she says this: "I was always lazy about having my pre-readers bring their Bibles to church, but when starting a new program, the teacher asked them to start bringing a Bible. I promptly found an extra Bible off the shelf and gave it to my 4-year-old son to take. After presenting the Bible to his teacher for approval, he said, with a dismissive shrug of his shoulder, 'Yeah, we don't really ever read it.' But we have Bible time during our homeschool day and as a family at dinner. But in his defense, we didn't generally read that particular Bible."
That particular Bible. Oh, that's so funny. Hopefully the teacher knew that that kids are just so literal with everything.
Yes. Oh, that is hysterical.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, listeners, if you have a kid quip for our show, we would love to hear from you. It can be any funny thing your child or grandchild has said, or it can even be something funny you said as a child. Just go to gingerhubbard.com/kidquips. That's Q-U-I-P-S to submit those. Listeners, as always, we love getting your questions and helping you think through how to biblically shepherd the hearts of your children. So if you have a question you'd like Ginger to answer, just go to gingerhubbard.com/askginger and submit your questions there. Ginger, before you leave us with a final word of encouragement, how about reminding our listeners of where you'll be in the next few weeks?
Sure. Actually, Katie and I will both be at the Teach Them Diligently Conference in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee this Thursday through Saturday, May 2nd through 4th, and we would love to meet you. And I know that's last minute, but it's not too late to sign up at teachthemdiligently.net and be sure to use the code GINGER for $20 off your ticket price. And if you can't make that one, I'll also be at the next Teach Them Diligently conference in Branson, Missouri, which is a super fun place to visit. I had a parenting event there not too long ago, and we wish we would have stayed longer. Such a cool place to go. That one is May 16th through 18th, and you can get a $20 discount off your ticket price for that event as well by using that same code GINGER at checkout. Then I'll be in Houston, Texas, and they too are offering a discount of $10 when you use that same code GINGER. And last but not least, I am really excited to be encouraging parents in Iowa this year at their annual homeschool conference, June 14th and 15th.
And listeners, we'll have Heather put links to all of those events with information about how to register and all the discount info in our show notes. Okay, Ginger, how about a final word of encouragement?
Hebrews 4:12 reminds us that it's not our words, but God's word that is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, and heart penetrating. So let's talk less, pray more, and know that wisdom from God's word is all that we need to correct and faithfully instruct our children in the way they should go.
Thank you so much, Ginger, and thank you, listeners, for joining us today. If your church might be interested in hosting Ginger and me for a women's event or bringing Ginger in for a parenting conference, please fill out the contact form at gingerhubbard.com and we'll get back to you with more information. And while you're on gingerhubbard.com, you can also find Ginger's wonderful resources that will help you get to the heart of outward behavior and address it from a biblical perspective. Today, we're offering Ginger's Wise Words for Moms chart bundle deal at a 10% discount. That's a buy three, get the fourth chart free deal for only $15. And if you use the code parenting at gingerhubbard.com, you can get an additional 10% off that already great deal. The Wise Words for Moms chart is a great gift for baby showers and dedications, or if you'd just like to bless your mom friends this Mother's Day with a gift that truly keeps on giving. Thank you so much for joining us today, listeners. We look forward to being with you again next week. Until then, may God bless you as you seek to reach the hearts of your children for the glory of God.